Hello and welcome to Talking HE. My name is Santanu Vasant. This is a special episode to mark the 30th anniversary of the Association for Learning Technology, ALT, the Joint Information Systems Committee, JISC, and the Staff and Educational Developers Association, CEDA. In this episode, we speak to Dr. Maran Deepwell, CEO of ALT. We discuss how Maran got involved with ALT, how the learning technology and wider higher education sector have changed during her time at ALT, what her proudest achievements as ALT CEO have been, where she sees learning technology in the next 5 years, what would be one piece of advice to any learning technology or higher education or corporate sector leader, and what's next on Maran's own journey. We hope you enjoy this episode.
I'm Dr. Maran Deepwell. I'm the current Chief Executive of the Association for Learning Technology. And from September 6, 2023, I'm handing over to our new CEO, Billy Smith.
So how did you first become involved with ALT?
So in 2008, I was doing my PhD at the Department of Anthropology at UCL in London. And during my sort of tenure at UCL, I loved studying there, but I was also working as a teaching assistant. And we had a head of department at the time, I think Catherine Homewood, who was very enthusiastic about this newfangled LMS called Moodle that was replacing WebCT at UCL at the time. And our department, I think was fair to say, you know, included a large number of people who were very interested in Stone Age, in biology. I don't think we were all that techie as a department. And I'd been working in the departmental archive, which was a small room full of filing cabinets that I very happily organized. But then a summer job came up at UCL to build Moodle modules for all the lecturers who were needing to learn how to do that. And so that was kind of my experience. And during my last year or two at UCL, I moved to Oxford. And I was looking to do something alongside finishing my PhD to pay the rent. And then I saw this advertisement for maternity cover position at ALT. And I thought, oh, this is just around the corner from where I live. I could walk there. And that's how I applied. So I had the interview, and it was just a maternity cover role because I was planning to go into, you know, anthropology, into academia afterwards. And I thought I hit it off with Seb Schmeller, who was then the CEO, straight away. And I really enjoyed learning about the association. So yeah, that's how I originally became involved at ALT. It was, I think, a 6 or 9 month contract. And I was fully set on moving on into a teaching role afterwards.
It's really interesting, you know, how you started. So how have you seen the educational technology sector and higher education sector change whilst you've been at ALT?
Well, I think the main reason why I stayed at ALT was that I realized very quickly how interesting it was to be working at the intersection between people and technology, between education and technology. And it was absolutely fascinating to me from the very beginning. And that is why, you know, I kind of ended up staying for 15 years. But I think that the biggest change that I've seen is really that educational technology has moved from being something for enthusiasts, something for an individual classroom, you know, a pilot. I think we in one of our conference titles, we called them islands of innovation, to being something for everyone, you know, in for better or for worse during the global pandemic in 2020, most parents and children across the globe and learners of all ages became intimately familiar with, you know, at least the emergency version of educational technology. And I think that has absolutely changed the field. And now it is something which is very much an expectation for students and for learners across all sectors.
And how did you move into the role of Alt CEO?
So in late 2011, my predecessor decided to retire from his role in Alt, and you know, he'd been the CEO for 10 years. So at that time, I'd been working for Alt for 4 years, and so I decided to put in an application very nervously, and just our recent recruitment process for our new CEO reminded me of just how draining and rigorous that process was, with lots of interviews and presentations and psychometric testing and nerve-wracking moments there. But I felt that I could really make a difference. And one of the things that always really attracted me to the role was that it's a membership organization and that it's very much people-led, and it involves a lot of collegiate working and collaboration. So I was appointed as CEO after the recruitment process finished in April 2012. And so I've been in that role for 11 years now.
And what's your proudest achievement as Alt CEO?
I've been thinking about that because I think we've achieved so much. I am proud of so many different things that have happened, you know, increases in our membership. We've launched new CMOR pathways. We've done fantastic work with policymakers and in open education. So I've been reflecting on, you know, what I think has made the biggest difference for our members and the sector. And I feel my proudest achievement is that, you know, weathering big changes like Brexit and then the pandemic, Alt under my leadership hasn't turned in on itself and hasn't become an inward focused organization. But instead, you know, even though we're a small independent charity with fewer than 10 staff, a tiny organization in comparison to some of our, you know, partner organizations like GIST, for example, hundreds of staff, or Advance HE, we have managed to continue to work in partnership here in the UK and also internationally. And I feel this has been key to our success. So at the moment, we have a wonderful partnership with CEDA, a partner organization who's also celebrating 30 years this year. And, you know, we've got a joint interest in professional accreditation and recognition, where we've mapped our frameworks against each other. And that has been a really welcome, I think, step forward by our membership. Similarly, we have a wonderful project with GIST working together on an award for digital transformation, showing how much innovation and excellence is happening across the sector. And we're very proud to be partnering with GIST on that. And also, we have a really long-standing now and very successful partnership with the UFI VocTech Trust, where we run a network for nearly 3,000 professionals now in further education and vocational education, and have a really strong desire to, you know, focus on skills development and CPD development across that particular sector. So I feel that is one of the proudest achievements for me as a CEO, to see us and our community flourish through collaboration.
And what would be one piece of advice for any edtech leader in a corporate or higher education sector?
Oh, I think my advice would be, don't believe the dashboard. I've so often had conversations with very senior leaders from across sectors, and they all have this wonderful vision that with enough data and enough, you know, nuanced dashboards, they'll just be able to see everything that's happening across the organization, and that it will somehow become less messy and more predictable. And that technology is going to solve, you know, what is, you know, naturally a messy human undertaking. And I've never really met anybody for whom that has worked, ever. I think the most effective leaders I've met are the people who made all different levels of staff and students in their organization, leaders who learn the same skills that they ask their staff to lead, leaders who use the technology that is in place in their organization and know firsthand how it works, but also what it can't do. I've never met a leader who had to sit a proctored exam himself, who had advocated for that level of assessment afterwards. So I think walking the walk and talking the talk and not believing just the reporting on the screen is, I think, a very generic piece of advice, but in edtech, I think, very, very relevant.
And where do you see the learning technology sector in the next 5 years?
I'm thinking about this question because I think there is a lot of potential, but there are also a lot of opportunities for things to become less creative, less positive, more rigid. Because I think one of the challenges of scaling things up is that you have so many more individuals to whose requirements we need to meet. I'm hoping educational technology as a sector will become more inclusive, more diverse, more equitable. But the technology isn't necessarily making that too easy, I think, because we do have a lot of limitations to work with him. And so I think I kind of see that there is sort of two forces at play. One of them is the kind of pace of technological innovation, which, you know, we are keeping up with as an education sector, but also which we're kind of contending with when new things like, you know, AI is the thing of the moment, MOOCs were the thing in the last decade, you know, there seems to be always a next new thing. But also I think our desire to include students and empower them in their use of technology, not just in the classroom, but also in the workplace as lifelong learners. So this is what I think will play out over the next 5 years.
And what's next for your personal journey, Maren?
Well, it's very bittersweet for me to be stepping down from a role I've loved so much for so long. But I'm very happy to be handing over to someone who's just as enthusiastic, if not more so, than I am about the association. And I'm sure Alt will flourish under Billy's leadership. For me, I'm really interested in focusing in on the human element of the work that I've been doing. I've been mentoring emerging leaders in edtech for a long time informally, and that is what I'm now hoping to focus on professionally and full time, working as a mentor and as a coach with individuals and with teams who are looking to develop their leadership and also develop their relationship with technology. So I'm very excited to be, you know, embarking on a new professional journey, but I'm also looking forward to maintaining my links with Alt as a member and as a certified member, and also being part of this community.
Any final thoughts?
Just a big thank you. I think it's been such a wonderful experience to work in a sector that, you know, gets me out of bed with a lot of enthusiasm every morning. I think what we do working in this intersection of technology and education is so worthwhile and so important. And I guess that is something that we can easily forget when the days get on top of us and, you know, we're struggling with burnout or overworking. So just a big thank you. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you to Dr. Maren Deepwell for her time. This was a special episode of Talking HE for the Alt, JISC and CEDA 30th anniversary. Thanks for listening. I've been Santanu Vasant, and this has been Talking HE.